Father, we love you, and I thank you again for the series. I thank you for the life of Joseph and how we can learn from him. And God, I pray that as we see the things that he's going through, we can look at our life and realize, hey, it's not as bad as what Joseph had going on. Lord, we've all got our deals that we're struggling with and that we're working through in different seasons. And God, so I pray that when we see these things in our own lives, we can read stories like Joseph and we can take away the principles that we've been talking about. And so, God, I pray that your word today speaks to us just as we continue down this journey. We love you. Ask these things in your son's name. Amen. So last week, we talked about Joseph. We got to the point that he was being sold as a slave into Potiphar's house. Like, that's kind of where we stopped in the story. And so Joseph, at this point, he's gone from the favorite son who's a dreamer, who, you know, has been lavished with the nice gifts and everything. I mean, he's the one that's kind of set apart within the family. He's gone from that in one moment to the next moment. His brothers are jumping him. They're ripping the coat off of him. They're beating him up, and they're throwing him in a well. Just like that, circumstances change. All right? They leave him to die. I mean, that's some brotherly love right there. They leave him to die. Then the other, the Ishmaelite traders come along, and they're like, no, instead, let's profit off of him. Let's not kill him. Let's profit off of him. So they sold him for the 20 pieces of silver. Joseph now ends up, he's sold into slavery. I mean, that's a bad day. That's not what he woke up thinking was going to be happening. And what we learned last week is that how we respond in these moments is important. Right? Like, those moments are going to come. Those life-derailing moments where I'm just chugging through life and all of a sudden I get off the track. How I respond to these moments says a lot about my faith. We are told, and we talked about this last week, that we should respond to the trials as an opportunity for joy to happen. And James tells us why. So we spent a good bit of time talking about the joy part of it last week. I want to talk about the rest of it. So if you have your Bibles, who's got their Bible? Who's got it? Huh? Not your phone. I mean, who's my Bible bringers? Yeah, good job, everybody. Now, the rest of you, get your phones out. I know it's on there, or you can look up on the screen. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. I want you to look right here. It's this. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Let's read this. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Right? Your faith is tested, and your endurance has a chance to grow. That's where I want us to kind of land today. Your faith is tested, and your endurance has a chance to grow. We are to consider it pure joy because of the trial. I'm sorry, we are not to consider it pure joy because of the trial. And that's how a lot of these conversations go. I know in my own life with Griffin and different people that I counsel, when we're talking about the circumstance, the trial itself, we get our minds wrapped around the fact that, wait a minute, I'm supposed to consider it joy that I'm going through this moment? And here's the deal. That's not how we're to approach this. We're not to consider it joy because of the trial itself, because of the circumstance, but we are to have joy because of what the trial can produce. Does that make sense? It's not the, oh, here I am in the lion's den. Oh, yippee skippy, I'm to be full of joy. It's not that. It's what the trial itself can produce. Oh, I'm sitting in the lion's den. It's kind of crazy down here. What can that produce? a greater reliance upon the Lord. Oh, Lord, please, if you've ever heard my prayers, I am with you right now, God. I need you right now. Please shut the mouths of these lions. That's where the joy comes in. The joy comes in not because of the trial itself, but what can be produced out of the trial. And it says here that we are to develop endurance. Now, what's endurance? Endurance, if you're writing this down, your endurance is your power to withstand hardships or stress. Your power to withstand hardships or stress. Verse 4 says, let your endurance grow. Let your power to withstand hardships grow. That's what James is saying to the church. Because he's writing to the church. Church, let your power to withstand hardships grow. And when it is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete. And we hit on this just a little bit last week, and I want to just remind us of this. In our culture, we do everything in our power to remain comfortable. We do everything in our power to avoid hardships. We even say things like, hey, work smarter, not harder, because, you know, we don't want to... Everything. We'll drop $8,000 on an air conditioning unit just so we won't be hot just like that. Okay? We do things so that we do not have to face hardships. And I'm not saying that we should just run headlong into every single hardship. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am challenging us with is that there are these things in life that are God puts in front of us, that God allows us to go through so that our endurance can grow, our power to withstand hardships can increase. And here's the deal with this. I mean, don't miss the last part of this. So that you will be fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, everything I've read the past 2 weeks about developing endurance of any kind has a few similarities. I'm talking about just in developing endurance, and you choose whatever that is. But when I keep reading about developing endurance, there's a few similarities. One is that there has to be a continued testing over time that leads to more difficult testing over time. If you're going to develop endurance in anything, you have to be tested for a period of time, which then leads to more testing over time. If I were to take off running right now, I want to increase my endurance as a runner. If I were to take off running right now, I'm betting that I would get to the mailbox and I would be winded. I would be ready for a nice stroll back to my air-conditioned house. Okay? But if I ran to the mailbox a couple of times a day, and I pushed myself to get to the mailbox, and then the next week, I ran to the mailbox and then down the road a little bit, I'm going to start developing this endurance. The mailbox is now easy to get to, but the road, the stop sign now, is challenging. But after I run to the stop sign a couple of times, I then take a right headed to Cracker Barrel. I was going to say the park, but Cracker Barrel seems more fitting. I would then head to Cracker Barrel, and I would get another 100 yards, and I would be tired. And if I did that a couple of times, you see where I'm going. Endurance is being developed as I push myself to my limit, as I'm tested, and then I'm pushed beyond that. That's how endurance works in anything. If you want to develop endurance in anything, you must be tested over a period of time. And then the testing needs to get harder over another period of time. There must be the repetition of what is being tested again and again. And here's the truth about endurance. It's never easy. Building endurance is never easy. Building endurance takes work. So you just read this passage to me, Michael, that says, I'm to consider it an opportunity for joy when I face endurance, when my endurance is being challenged, when my endurance is being tested. You just said that building endurance is never easy. So what's that mean for me today when it comes to being tested to build endurance as a follower of Jesus? You know, Jesus, the guy who told his disciples before he was leaving, hey, in this world, you're going to have a lot of hardship because of me. Be honored. I mean, that's what he told his followers. That's one of the last things that he's given them before he leaves them. I promise you, you guys are going to face lots of hardships. Your endurance is going to, your faith is going to be tested. Your endurance is going to increase. I believe it means that we should consider it joy because God is allowing us to face these hardships because He loves us and He wants us to be mature. God wants us to be complete. He wants us on this earth to go through this life perfect, not needing anything. Now, we know this from previous studies. Philippians tells us this, that we are not ever going to be made complete until we are in the presence of Jesus Himself. But this entire life is about working towards that. And He's like, I want you to face endurance. I want you to face hardships. I want your faith to be tested because I love you, that's what God is saying, and I want you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'm going to allow you, the church, to walk through difficult situations because He loves you. Let's look at the life of Joseph, and you're going to see some commonalities here too. And so Joseph starts out chapter 40. We're actually going to start here. Chapter 40, verses 14 and 15. Right? And please, we'll fill in the blanks here in a minute. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this palace. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I am here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. Did you catch that last statement? I did nothing to deserve it. I don't deserve my situation. All right, now jump back. We're all over the place. Genesis 39, 2 through 6. Let's read this. The Lord was with Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. All right, so you see here that this is the point in the story where we go from, I just rolled into Egypt, the Ishmaelite traders sold Joseph into Potiphar's household. And you see here that it says the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph, he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. Then there's the deal with Potiphar's wife. We know that Joseph has success. Potiphar reaps the benefit of that success. We know that Joseph is a good-looking young man. Potiphar's wife sees this, and she makes a move. Joseph's like, I'm not wanting anything to do with it, so he steps out of the way. She falsely accuses him. All right? Genesis 39, verse 19. Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held, and there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries. Wow. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. There are two details in this passage that I want you to notice. Okay? There's two things. We're going to wrap up here. Two things in these passages I want you to notice. First, Joseph is going through these trials where he is being tested. And multiple times in these passages, it states that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Church, it's important for us to know that the Lord is going to be with you when you are facing adversity, when your faith is being tested. The Lord is with you. God did not allow these things to happen to Joseph and then leave him by himself. That's not God. When you read of God's people facing adversity where they're being tested, you will find God nearby. God is always in the mix. I mean, I mentioned the lion's den earlier. Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the fiery furnace, David running from Saul, hiding. Jesus sent his 12 disciples into a storm. And where's God? Where's Jesus? They're always close by. They are always present. You got to know that. You got to know that God's not going to allow you to go through these difficult circumstances and then withdraw from you. There should be joy knowing that God is present with you in these moments. He allows you to face them, but never alone. And here's the question. Here's the question I wrestled with this week. And I think it's a fair question. What if I don't feel God's presence in these life-derailing moments? What if I don't feel God's presence there? And this is a whole other sermon series to answer that, so I'm going to answer that question with a question for you to ponder. How diligent are you in seeking God's presence before the derailing moment of faith-testing adversity comes? I mean, how diligent are you? How diligent are you in seeking God's presence before that moment comes? How diligent are you in seeking God's presence during the trial? I'm telling you right now, church, followers of Jesus are all too often, we are guilty, myself definitely included. We are guilty of going through life and giving God very little on the day-to-day. We go through life and life is great. Life is okay. I got it like I like it. Things are working out. I got a good job. I got a decent set of wheels I drive. I mean, all the provisions are there for me. Life is okay. And you want to know what happens a lot of times when we get in that nice, comfortable stretch of things? Just like we saw with the Israelites. I'm good, God. I'll catch up with you tomorrow. I'll catch up with you Sunday. Oh, I missed it again. I'm there later. And I'm guilty of that. The Israelites, praise the Lord, we get to read the Bible, they were guilty of it. God was like, oh no, I'm just going to give you what you need today so that you'll need me tomorrow. And the Israelites were, no, please, Lord, give us more. No, give us a week's worth. And every time the Lord gave them more, guess what they did? We don't need you. We're okay without you, God. You see that in the history of God's chosen people. And we're the same way. And so you're sitting here and we're asking ourselves the question, hey, what if I don't feel God's presence in this life-derailing moment? You've got to ask yourself, how diligent have I been when things were really good? It's not that God's going to say, well, you're on your own now, sucker. It's not that God treats you like that. He's always going to be there when you turn to Him. But if I'm not seeking God's presence on the day-to-day, if I'm not seeking God when things are good, how will I ever know what that's like when things are bad? And so Joseph is there, and the Lord was with him. Now, the second detail I want you to notice about Joseph's situation is that in prison, it says in verse 21 that the Lord showed Joseph his faithful love. I read that, and I remember the first time I read this. I put my Bible down. I was reading the ESV, and it says steadfast love. I remember this. I was sitting there, and I was reading this, and I read that. The Lord showed Joseph his faithful, steadfast love. And I stopped. I'm like, wait a minute. God has allowed him to go through all these trials. God has allowed him to be treated the way he was with his brothers and the slavery and the Potiphar and the Potiphar's wife. And now he's in prison. He's gone from favored son to slave to prison. And you mean to tell me that God is showing him his steadfast love? There's absolutely nothing about that makes sense. How can anyone in their right mind say that being allowed to be in prison because of the false accusations and then leaving him there for up to 10 years is faithful love? Hey, if you want Michael's interpretation of what faithful love is, I got dropped into prison today and bailed out tomorrow. Hey, that's faithful love. Okay? That's what faithful love looks like. But this is God's economy. This is God's playground that we're living in. And here in this situation, Joseph, who did absolutely, remember the first one we read, he did nothing to deserve it. God left him in prison. He let him go there. And not just an overnight stay. Not just a 30-day slap on the wrist. Up to 10 years. He allowed Joseph. And here's the deal. God knows what he's doing. He knows that the testing of faith develops endurance. And endurance must be tested so that you will become complete and not lacking anything. In order to develop endurance, you must be tested over and over again. You must be tested in prison not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, not 8 years, 10 years. And you look at the stories in the Bible where God allowed people to go years of being tested. I mean, I always bring up the story of Joshua and Caleb, not ours. I mean, they go into the promised land. They were one of the spies. They're the two that came back and said, man, we got this. We got God on our side. The others were like, oh, no. God's not bigger than those giants. God's not able to conquer. We're going to get demolished. We'll get destroyed. And God's like, all right, I'm going to punish all of you for 40 years. This whole generation is not going to be allowed in the promised land. We're going to get out here and we're going to go on a hike. We're going to go on a 40-year hike of walking through the desert. All right? Joshua and Caleb, well done. You did exactly what you've got. Great faith in me. Guess what? You're going to get to walk with them for 40 years before you get your reward. Years. 10 years in prison, and the words faithful love. In order to develop endurance, you must be tested over and over again. Your faith has to be tested. And I'll tell you this, none of us wants to spend a night in prison. But your faith is not going to be tested in one night in prison like it is for 10 years. Or whatever it is that you're going through, God's faithful love allowed Joseph to develop endurance. God's faithful love allows you to develop endurance, whatever it is you're going through. In this story, there's about 8 years that go by. Now, we'll give Joseph the benefit of the doubt. He's not locked in the inner dungeons. He's got some responsibilities. The jailer's like, hey, that's a good guy. We're going to promote him. We're going to let him oversee things. Well, then, after about 8 years, the cupbearer and the baker show up in prison. They served Pharaoh and they made him mad. Maybe the martini was, I don't know, stirred instead of shaken, and the biscuits were overcooked. Whatever it was, Pharaoh said, off the prison, you two. They land in the presence of Joseph. They have dreams. Joseph, accurately, through God's wisdom and help, interprets the dreams. This is what's going to happen to you. Here's what's going to happen to you, cupbearer. And he tells them exactly what's going to happen. And he does the same thing with the baker. 8 years I've been in prison. 8 years God's been working. His steadfast love has been here. He's allowed me to have some success here in prison. And now these two guys show up and there's dreams involved. In Genesis 40:23 says that Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about him. He never gave him another thought. That was the one request I had. This is my out. Hey, cupbearer, when you're restored, will you please tell somebody about my story? Will you please tell Pharaoh that I've been in here for 8 years and I've been mistreated? Because I wasn't supposed to be here. Will you please tell people about this? Never giving him another thought. Chapter 41 tells us that there's two more full years go by before Pharaoh has a dream. 2 more full years go by before God is ready to set his plan in action for using Joseph. God's faithful love is not about rescuing you every time the going gets tough. God's faithful love is not about making your earthly burden lighter because you're beat down. God's faithful love is not about making your life easier. God's faithful love is about being present with you during those times. The testing of your faith, church, is about helping you become mature and complete, not lacking anything. And when you're going through these moments, when you're going through these life-derailing moments, you've got to know He is preparing you for something greater and bigger than the moment you are enduring. I promise you that when Joseph was in the bottom of the well, he wasn't sitting there thinking, well, I wonder how they're going to bow down to me now. And when he's sitting in Potiphar's household and things are going great, Potiphar's wife makes the move on him. He's getting thrown in prison. Well, man, now how are they going to bow down to me? I'll go ahead and tell you, chances are when you're living in the moment, when you're living in the moment of whatever it is that your faith is being tested, you're probably not going to see the big picture. Hence, faith being tested. And God loves you enough that He allows us to go through these things. But how do we respond? Lord, I pray for our church, and I just pray, God, that in the moment of things where we are tested, first off, Lord, not popular, but Lord, I pray that we face tests. I pray that we face situations that will test our faith, Lord. God, I also pray that when we face these tests, that, Lord, we see them as an opportunity for joy, because we know that in these tests, our endurance is being stretched. It's growing. And this leads to us developing this faith that just leads to us becoming mature and complete, not lacking anything. God, I pray that that's where the joy comes into our lives. And I pray that every time we go through one of these, I pray for our church, Lord, I just ask, God, that as we go through these things, Lord, that we will feel Your presence there. Lord, that begins today when it's good, though. Just like any relationship. So, God, I pray that we diligently seek You right now when life is good. But, Lord, I pray that we're being tested. We feel Your presence all the more. I pray that we can look there and we can see God present in our lives. And so, God, I pray for our church moving forward. May we be a group of people who doesn't run from hardship, doesn't run from our faith being tested, doesn't run from being challenged. We consider it joy. We know of Your steadfast love as You prepare us for something greater. Hear our prayers today, Lord. Amen.